Welcome back to Stateside. I'm April Baer. As America has grown into its 21st century debate about guns, gun laws, shootings, suicides, crime, and justice, the role of local governments has been a big piece of the conversation. The federal government and state government can legislate, but at the end of the day, it's mostly up to local police, prosecutors, sheriffs, and others to act or decline to in interpreting what the writers of the Constitution intended. In recent weeks, 8 Michigan counties have adopted language around becoming gun law sanctuaries. Kalkaska County is one of those that adopted such language, and Commissioner John West from Kalkaska County joins us now. Mr. West, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much.
How do you define a sanctuary county? Can you tell us a little bit about what the commissioners voted on?
Well, kind of my definition is that we're going to stand by the Constitution. That's what we were sworn to do, and part of that is the Second Amendment. Even though it's more of a symbolic gesture, you know, symbolism is pretty important in this country. I mean, we all recognize the flag. A lot of us recognize that American Eagle as well. So when it was brought to us, I thought that it was important that we should just reassure our people that we're going to stand by one part of the Constitution, that being the Second Amendment, which is very important to a lot of us up here.
Tell us a little bit about the gun culture in Kalkaska County.
Well, I mean, you got to understand we're pretty rural up here. Obviously, we have a lot of hunting in this area. We get a lot of people from all over, not just other states, but all over the world that come to Michigan, because we do have some world-class hunting up here.
Right.
And being rural on the other side of it as well, you got to understand that law enforcement's not always right in our back door. So, and people inherently have the right to self-defense, as they should.
Meaning to say, if you pick up the phone to call 911, it may very well be more than 5 minutes before somebody shows up at your door.
Exactly, and nothing against the sheriff's department. It's just part of the nature of the beast of where we live.
Geography.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you spell out for us exactly what the commissioners were affirming with respect to, I mean, you mentioned that this was an affirmation of the Constitution, but what specifically does the language say about enforcing gun laws?
Well, we're going to abide by the law. And first off, we're not there to enact any new laws. That's not our job. We don't enact laws, ordinances. But we're going to abide by the law. And a big part of that is the Second Amendment. And we're going to stand by that and don't support any government that wants to take away our right to have that ability to defend ourselves or for sporting purposes or hunting purposes.
Were there specific gun laws that you were concerned about?
Well, some of the red flag laws were concerned, but you have to understand that we have laws in place already that kind of protect us from people that shouldn't have guns.
Was there anything in play in Lansing right now that was of concern to you?
Well, we have some concerns about, you know, who's in charge of some of the areas that affect our gun laws, I guess is a good way to put it.
Why do this right now?
Well, again, since as some of us are aware of what happened in the state of Virginia, and a lot of people felt that this could be attacked on our gun rights, and we felt that it was just time to reaffirm people that that's not our stand. We stand by the right to self-defense. We stand behind the right to bear arms for whatever purposes that may be that are legal.
For those who may not have been following this issue closely, Virginia recently passed some red flag laws that refer to how police or law enforcement might go about disarming people who may pose a danger to themselves or to others. You know, in the counties where sanctuary proposals have been discussed, it is pretty hard to find people who don't support gun rights. I believe it was a unanimous vote from the commissioners in Kalkaska County, correct?
It was, and we're one of the few boards that unanimously, I mean, it is a divided situation for some people, but we are one of the few boards that was unanimous, which is kind of good.
You know, if there's general agreement in the community and there's not an active bill in Lansing picking up momentum, is this a solution in search of a problem? I mean, what kind of scenarios are concerning to you?
A solution in search of a problem. Now, that's a tough one there. there's a lot of issues out there, and I don't have the answers. I wish I did. I probably wouldn't be a county commissioner if I had a lot of these answers. But I just want to assure people that, you know, we're going to stand behind the people and what they want in their community. This is a community, so there is a solidarity there.
I'm sure you've given some thought to what might happen if gun laws were to pass in Lansing and the resolution were tested. Can you imagine what that might look like for Kalkaska County?
Well, I think Kalkaska is going to, you know, stand behind our law enforcement. They're going to stand behind the majority of our residents because it is part of who we are up here.
John West is a member of the Kalkaska County Board of Commissioners. Thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And you take care.
Just to the north of Kalkaska is Antrim County. And it recently introduced a similar proposition, but it had a very different conclusion. Christian Marcus sits on the Antrim County Board of Commissioners, and he joins us now. Mr. Marcus, welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
How did this issue first come up?
I guess it was made aware by citizens of the county watching what's going on around the country.
And, I mean, there's a Facebook group that has been discussing this pretty heavily, encouraging people to ask their local governments to take up proposals, creating a state of sanctuary in which, as they say, interpretations of the Second Amendment can be made in what they consider to be an appropriate way. What were your thoughts when you first heard about the proposal?
Well, I wasn't surprised when I heard about it. I was surprised at how fast it grew. The population grew by the thousands weekly.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people own guns in Antrim County?
I would assume so.
Gun laws have often been very hard fought on both sides, but it's pretty safe to say that the federal government and state leaders have been reluctant to act very quickly whenever legislation involving guns comes up. Given that the speed of lawmaking, you know, can go kind of slowly at higher levels, did you and the other commissioners talk much about what local government's responsibility is?
I don't believe we spoke much about this topic up until the resolution was given to us.
What exactly did the resolution say?
Basically, it was an affirmation of the right to bear arms through the constitutional language as written, and cited, I believe, three or four court cases that ruled in favor of the owner.
Antrim County decided not to pass the resolution. Can you tell us how come?
I believe there was quite a few people who spoke, mainly teachers, actually, that spoke in favor of not adopting it. And, of course, there was a balanced amount of those who wanted us to pass it and to basically maintain the dignity of the Second Amendment. But the main topic was based on a word sanctuary.
Meaning to say whether that was an appropriate way to describe what the county could do and what it might be able to do if this were passed.
Well, I think there was a unified belief that the word sanctuary has been basically manipulated by another user group trying to defend an illegal action that is taking place across the country by illegal entry of the United States. So by using the word sanctuary cities to protect those people, the original author who actually started this in Illinois was a prosecutor who decided that he's going to use this word and said, fine, if they want to use it, we're going to use it. And I think it spread across the country just from that one prosecutor in Illinois.
Hmm. Are there ways in which Antrim County has had to decide whether it's going to abide by other kinds of laws that the state or federal government imposes?
You know, we've been very fortunate that up until today, we haven't been on an assault like we're seeing at different governorships across the country, including our own. The threats to take the guns, the threats to do these, all in the name of gun control, but statistics don't back them up. And I happen to be extremely involved in our mental health groups in our county. I represent the National Association of Counties under Justice of Public Safety Committee. I'm on the board of directors for the Michigan Association of Counties and serve on the Justice Committee. I serve on the Northern Michigan Regional Entity for Community Mental Health and on the board for North Country Community Mental Health. If anybody knows anything about mental health issues and the best way to go about it, I feel like I'm well equipped to make those decisions. I was very confident in my vote and introducing this resolution to the county and expecting an unanimous vote as a yes, and it didn't happen.
Did the commissioners hear from the sheriff in advance of the vote?
Well, unfortunately, no. The sheriff chose not to make a comment. He said he was good, no comment.
He was good either way.
He basically said, when he was asked if he had a comment, his exact words is, "I'm good, no comment."
No comment. Okay. So that's sort of that's a pass for sure. Could I just ask you to explain what it was that Antrim County voted on? I understand that the commission ultimately decided to affirm the Constitution. What was behind that decision?
Well, there was a choice. During the Roberts Rules of Action in the board, we adopted and go by. It allows for a substitution either in partial by word or in its entirety. In this case, the commissioner chose to do it in its entirety. And as of when that is introduced, it is required that we vote on whether or not we're going to accept the motion to amend. The problem that lies in this particular motion is you can't argue its quality in reaffirming constitutional rights. Who wouldn't reaffirm constitutional rights? So for us to vote no on that would make us look like we don't agree. I could see the twisting of people who want to be negative rather than try to be positive. So we voted to accept the motion because it affirmed the constitutional rights in its entirety. But the vote that I introduced was not given a chance to vote up or down.
Your business is a convenience store, right?
Right.
Were many people in the community aware of this discussion going on?
Oh, yes. I had an extreme amount of people positive and saying, thank you for doing this. I represent my county well. Mm-hmm. I went into this meeting without a doubt that I had the full support of my constituents.
Do you feel that it's possible for Antrim County to have a strong stance and a strong position on gun rights without this resolution?
Yes.
What does the county need to affirm about people's right to own guns?
We need to reassure the citizens of the county that we are not going to just allow our elected officials at any level to just go ahead and stomp on our rights without a fight. They need to be reminded that there's an election each and every term, and they need to be reminded what we're not going to allow them to push too far on. And gun-grabbing laws are just that starting point where we're going to say enough is enough. And it's our job to represent our local counties and as elected officials to reassure our people in our district that we're going to be the starting point. In most cases, like in Virginia, they didn't get the opportunity to meet at a county commissioner's meeting. They weren't given the ability to discuss it and form resolutions. The sheriffs had to act immediately because the state had changed the rules and pushed it through their legislative actions and made it law through a Democratic governor who didn't allow this to happen. The process wasn't legal. Sheriffs took action, and now it's getting serious because as of yesterday, they passed more laws.
Just for those who may not have been following it, you're talking about the red flag legislation that was voted on in Virginia.
Yes.
People, taking guns out of the hands of people who might not be in a stable situation to have them.
That is part of it, yes.
Yeah. There are many number of rules, regulations, and outright laws that the state and federal governments vote into passage and that everyone may not agree with. Could you explain a little bit about what you think makes this issue different, that it needs separate action affirming the county's position?
Well, what's different is promises made by politicians, whether they're kept or not, the intention has been made clear by one particular party that claims that they are going to remove the guns out of people's hands for their own safety. Well, I don't like a politician, and that will include me, telling my constituents what's better for them. What's better for them is what they do. I believe that if I had a person in my household that was dangerous to me, themselves, or anybody else, it is my responsibility to do something about it, not the state, not the police, not the federal government. So when there is an issue, whether it's mental health or someone who just has violent intention, it's up to the people and the family to deal with it. We've gotten away from it. And when we allow our governments to do this, we're just going to chip away at it. That's what we're afraid of, chipping away at our constitutional rights, whether they're good intentions or not. When you open the door to restriction out of a constitutional right, it just gets more and more restrictive. And I'm telling you right now, the Virginia laws are doing exactly that. They are the poster child for what will happen if you allow them to do anything.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about this that you think is important for people to understand?
Yes. The number one importance that I believe in this, what this would have done in our county, was let people be aware of where their elected officials stand. That was my number one intention. You need to know if your sheriff's going to have your back. You need to know if your prosecutor, your commissioners, anybody else is going to have your back, because you're the one voting for them. And if they refuse to answer the question, yes or no, that they'll support you, then you now you know what you're going to do in the next election.
Is it of concern to you at all to think that local governments might be able to stand on their own and counteract different kinds of rules in different situations?
Absolutely. Grassroots support is needed at all levels. As a matter of fact, at the Michigan Association of Counties, we look to our county commissioners across the entire state, both sides of the aisle, for direction on an action being done by the state legislator. It's well known that the grassroots response is extremely important in decisions that we make.
Is it realistic to think that all of Michigan's counties would ever come to agreement on this issue?
I certainly hope so. Currently, this current legislative makeup is there, and I believe that they are supporting the majority of people's needs and opinions.
Well, Mr. Marcus, thank you so much for talking with us about this today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Christian Marcus sits on the Antrim County Board of Commissioners. Also, just a bit of an epilogue to that story, State Representative Gary Eisen of St. Clair Township has introduced a couple of resolutions in the state legislature to protect gun rights